So the last way of Nipsey is the memory of death. Can anyone tell us what this means or how you understand this? How can this be? Death. Any thoughts about it? What does this mean? The memory of death. The ascetics, they talk about the memory of death. All right, let's... Huh? Anyone? No? No one? No one? All right. That's because you're all still alive. All right. Let's ask another question. And just by raising hands, we'll have a picture. Who in here is afraid of death? So some of you, they're not afraid. You're not afraid of death? So who in here is not afraid of death? Okay. So how can we not be afraid of death? Let's see. Any ideas? What can make us not be afraid of death? Because there are a few of you that you're not afraid of death. Now you have to explain why and how.
When you get to a place that resembles death and the Lord leads you out of there.
Can you repeat it because I didn't hear? Just slower so I can...
When you've been to a place that resembles death and the Lord leads you out of there and saves you.
Yes. Yes, that's one way, of course.
I just keep remembering Christ is the beginning and the end. So for me, that's a process that I've sort of thought and worked with over the last year for myself, that he is my beginning and my end.
That's nice. Anyone else? All right. Believe it or not, the saints not only had the memory of death and they were not afraid of death, but they wanted to die. Not in a pessimistic way, not in a suicidal way. It's the extreme opposite. So Saint Seraphim of Sarov, we said this example before, he passed away while he was on an ecstasy that we mentioned. So basically, his soul was connected with Christ, and his soul just stayed there, and his body gave up. This was his death, which is not death. It's God, Christ, the beginning, the end. This is what the gospel says, that the one who believes in me will go through death into life. So his body died, but his soul, which was connected with Christ, with God, with the Holy Trinity, just kept being there. And he entered the eternity in such an easy way. And you will see other people, we had this discussion yesterday and today, that they're on the deathbed and their soul won't come out. And they suffer. And you might see others that they've passed away 10 years ago. You go to remove the relics from the ground and they're not melted. This means that these people, they had specific sins that they were not forgiven. And that's not to scare you. That's to tell you that we just need to be careful with our spiritual life. God is love. Don't be afraid. Yeah, just go for confession. Yes, the ascetics, they were looking forward to death because this would have been the beginning of their real life. The life in Christ. So once we love God, if we love God, it doesn't matter if we're married or not, we're not afraid of death. Of course, we will be sad for the ones that will leave behind. And Christ, before his crucifixion, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he did this long prayer, which is amazing if you read it. And he's praying about his disciples because he knew that he was to leave. And they would be without him. And he's praying for his Father to take care of them. I can understand that. But if we love Christ ourselves, there is no fear of death. First of all, we know that God will take us when we're on the best time ever. And we need to understand that. And of course, be careful, because if we go downhill, then it's not God's fault. But if we live by faith, there is nothing to be afraid of. And that's a good thing, because let's say that someone will try and kill me tonight. If it's not my time, he's not going to make it. And that's not because my dog will scare him off. It's because God will find a way for him not to succeed if it's not my time. And we need to know that, like car accidents, this and that. If it's not our time, it's not going to happen. If someone was to pay someone to murder me, it's not going to happen. If it's not my time from God, it's not going to happen. And then you see St. Basil the Great, and he died, like, how old was he? 49? More or less. That's because it was his time, and that's because he fulfilled what he had to do on earth. So why wasting time? And people like St. Basil the Great, like my elder Yerda Semilianos, when they pass away, their prayers for us, they are way stronger than when they're alive. It's a common understanding of all the spiritual children of Yerda Emiliano that after he passed away, a lot of things fell into place. A lot of things fell into place. And if I may say a personal thing, which everyone knows, the day that he passed away, Archbishop was elected. And then I ended up being here with you now. The only spiritual child of Elder Emiliano in Australia who's a priest or something like that. So it's very significant for me. But this is what happens with people that they have sanctified themselves. Their death, it's not death. It's a panegyri for the church and for themselves as well. And of course, when we found out that he passed away, we were very sad. But at the same time, when you know that you have a saint that you knew and he loved you as a father, and he is up there, and he can tell to Christ directly, look here, Christ, I want you to save this person. I want you to help this person. Do you think that Christ will say no? Christ won't say no. It is what it is. So we're afraid of death only when we're not okay with our conscience. But if I know that, even if I didn't do everything perfect in my life, I tried. I couldn't have done anything without God's help. And now my time comes to go. I'm in peace. Yeah. We have to come in terms with death sooner or later, because it's unavoidable. I didn't want to end up like this, but yes, it's very important. It's very important.
How do we become not afraid of our loved ones, though? So maybe we're not afraid of us not knowing that we are, of our loved ones dying and us not having the right.
I would be afraid if you were to pass away and your conscience was not clean. I would be afraid for you. This is what it is to love someone. But then again, we have the example of Papa Ephrem, Saint Ephrem of Katunaki again, who, his first elder, he was not exactly a very spiritual person for whatever reason. And when his first elder passed away, he realized that he was not in a good place. His elder was not in a good place. The one that he cared about was not in a good place. So Papa Ephrem, he prayed for him a lot. And then he ended up getting the information from Christ that now he is in a good place. So his elder appeared to him in a sort of a vision or a dream, whatever you can call it, and he told him, thank you, now I'm in a good place. So even after our death, and it comes back to who we are as people, if your prayers are strong enough, you can save your loved ones, even after they pass away. And this is why we give the names to the priest to pray about the living, but also about the departed. Because we can affect, our prayers can affect them in the next life, before the second, before the final judgment of Christ. Until then, there is space for us to do things for them. Even if we give money to a pool for their soul, or if we give a prosphoro to the church for their soul, if we pray for them, if we do a koboskini for them, all these things, they count. For example, in my list of names that I pray about, the first three departed. It's the bishop that I was his altar boy as a kid, Isidoros, and then it's my grandmother who was a nun, and her best friend who was also a nun. For whatever reason, I always pray for them. And I know they're in a good place, but I always pray for them. They're always the first ones that I remember when I pray for the departed ones. And then it comes to the point that if you have loving ones around you, you don't even need to say words, as we said before. Your heart automatically will pray for them when you're in church or when you pray for others. You don't need to say words. But it is very painful when you have people that you loved and you're in a doubt, will they make it or will they not? And they could be relatives, they could be mates, they could be anything. That's why ourselves, we have to get as close to God as possible to be able, like Hier Emiliano, to say, my Lord, I want to save all my spiritual children. End of the story. And he did that. Hier Emiliano did this for his spiritual children, although most of us were still alive, but he did that. So if we reach this level, then you know that your loved ones, God will show mercy on them. And if you were to depart, your prayers, they will be very strong for the ones that you leave behind. So it's a good thing. Does this answer your question? Anything else?
What do we do if we have elderly grandparents that don't attend church or don't really have a relationship with God, they don't commune or they don't go to confession? What do you suggest in that situation?
It's difficult. That's what we said before. That's why we have to pray for them as much as we can. And sometimes it is like hitting our heads on the wall, because everyone has a free will. There was this famous poet, and he was an atheist. So before he gave up his last breath, a priest went in the room in the hospital with Holy Communion. And do you know what this very smart, otherwise, and very famous poet did? He told to the priest, get out of here. How is he going to be saved if he doesn't want Christ to save him? And that's before your last breath. So everyone is free, and Christ respects our freedom. It is very sad sometimes, but if these people, they have a bit of goodwill, our prayers can help them. It's the extremes, the situations that they just go against God willingly, like the example we just mentioned. So if they have goodwill, we can help them with our prayers, and we should be praying for them. Anything else? I think we should stop here for tonight. We said quite a bit. And all right, that's it. Η ευχόν των Αγίων Πατέρων ημών, Κύριος Χριστέ ο Θεός, ελέησον και σώσον ημάς. Αμήν.